the Ruin Dits catch-up for the Hospital Research Home Lottery. $2.9 million grand prize. Visit homelottery.com.au.
104.7 Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome...
Lehman.
Lehman!
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Hello, Lehman.
Oh, love a Monday morning with you guys, just to say what's been going on the weekend. You know, I listen to you guys in the mornings. You're the best breakfast show in Adelaide.
That's right.
And you're the only one that has me on. So I listen to you guys in the mornings, and I love the show. And when I'm listening before I come on, you tend to get me a little bit more excited, but today you've got me a lot more excited.
Well, what have we done?
Because sometimes you cover off stuff on this show that just puts a little spring in my step. It was Roo earlier today, Roo. It was when you said this.
I've had a few testy stories here, haven't we?
Just a bit of testy talk on the show.
Well, we just took calls on the most pain you've been in, and funnily enough, on a, you know, probably a male focused show a little bit, we got down to one of the most painful areas on the body.
Right there, and you know that women everywhere were laughing at every story.
Yeah, don't you say that you haven't had one of those, because every bloke's had one.
Mate, I'll tell you what, I had one...
Yesterday.
Within the last week, this was right now. Within the last week, I picked my son up. He was trying to run away from me.
Yeah,
and I came behind him and I picked him up under his arms. But as I picked him up, he was still kicking his legs back and forth as hard as he could, and he's just reverse heeled me right in the crackers. And he just about put me down, and my wife thought it was the funniest thing she'd ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Until you've experienced it. Well, you know, it's pretty nasty. It's your birthday today, Lemo, too. Happy birthday, mate.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys. Yeah,
happy birthday. What did the wife get you?
What did my wife get me? When I said to her, "You don't have to get me anything," she took that quite literally.
Well, that's what happens when you get older.
Because when that happens in reverse, you know, and the wife says, "No, don't get me anything." Well, we know that means splurge. I want everything. But
It better come with a ribbon and a bow and a bloody accompanying poem in a card.
And my favourite restaurant on top of it.
And a vase full of flowers.
Don't want anything.
She said, she goes, "You're just so hard to buy for." Just give up then. Just don't do anything
then. That means for the rest of your life, you're never getting another present.
The next present I get is going to be a letter from the Queen. That's what I've got to look forward to. So anyway, I'm sure she'll have something. Actually, no, she won't. I'm being optimistic there. I'm more likely that my son will have something for me. Hey, you guys were talking about gender selection earlier. We've covered it off at our house. We've only got one kid, son. But we haven't cut his hair yet, so he looks like a girl. So we've got both.
Oh, well, that's one way to work it out.
It's amazing how often people come up and say, "Oh, she's so cute."
That'll make you happy.
Once a week, dress him up in a skirt, and then you know, just to get that out of your system.
I tell you what, Dits, our son spent the first 18 months of his life at home with his mother watching RuPaul's Drag Race and Project Runway on television. So if anyone is a candidate for putting on a dress and some makeup, it's our son.
How do you go when people think he's a girl?
Oh, I just kind of laugh, to be honest with you, because he does look a bit like a girl, I've got to be honest. When he's got his hair up in a top knot.
Oh, no.
You know, he's got a very fresh, cute little face, so, I'd take it as a compliment. Now, Dits, you were talking about super producer Alice just before. Ringing the Bridge Association when you wanted to get an expert on bridges. And she got an old lady who was playing bridge. An ex-girlfriend of mine meeting the parents one time, and there was and she was super nervous, right? Super nervous. And there was a book on the coffee table called Golf Courses of England, right? And she hadn't said anything for ages, and she wanted to get into the conversation. And she was really nervous. She was trying to work out how to get into the conversation. So she picks this book up called Golf Courses of England and says, "Oh, I didn't know you could study golf in England."
Oh, what? How did that go down?
Yeah, no. There's a little bit of head shaking going on.
She's a keeper.
Yeah, she's a keeper. Well done, Lemo.
What the hell are you talking about? Oh, God. Hey, and guys, quickly on the way, a disappointing result. Dits, obviously, the port there at the G on Saturday. And Roo, Crows, great win.
Oh, a win. We had a win.
It's good. Gives you good momentum going into Mad Monday.
Oh, God, you're a cocky Hawthorn supporter. Oh, well, Dits. Oh,
get him off.
Get rid of him.
That'll do for today.
Now I see why he got sacked, Lima. Whoever was running that station was obviously barracking for Carlton and was sick to death of you going on about Hawthorn this, Hawthorn that, Alistair Clarkson this.
Can we vet our comedians in future? Who do they marry for? Before we employ them on this show.
Guys, can I just, in my defence, you talk about cocky Hawthorn fans, but in my defence, just to bring people into the picture and let people know that it's not all, you know, roses and chocolates, my son is just turned two, and he hasn't even seen a premiership yet. I mean, how do I explain that to him? You know, the poor little fella.
Yeah, there's a lot of 19-year-old Crow supporters running around with that same problem.
Yeah, there's a few 60-year-old Melbourne supporters as well.
Good on you, Lima.
Go away, Lima.
Thanks, mate.
See you. We'll catch you in a couple of years.
To Westhoff to make it consecutive majors for Port, and he has achieved that. Marco flashing through, as he has so often, the big goal at the big time. Adams, he did the team thing. Thomas kicks another against the team that have dominated against them. For the first time since 2013, Collingwood will play finals football again.
Collingwood kept bringing outnumber pressure to you, and that's work rate. They brought it. We didn't stand up to it.
So, Roo, I want to ask you about Port Adelaide. So, in the last 6 weeks, they've lost five games. Teams they've lost to, Fremantle, which is just unacceptable. When you look at the competition and what Freo dished up just on the weekend gone by.
Can play well over there, Freo, though. I'll give you in a little out.
Lost to the Crows, and we could argue about this, but I thought it was a game Port Adelaide should have won.
Yep,
but Crows fans would say, nah, we were better and we won. Lost to the West Coast Eagles in a game where, now, rotations hurt Port Adelaide in the end, no doubt about that, but you still should find a way to win when you're in that position. They needed to hang on to the ball for 2 minutes. They weren't able to do that. Lost to GWS, who turns out are a pretty good side, and lost to Collingwood. A capitulation, I'd call it. It wasn't a loss. It was a capitulation against Collingwood.
Last quarter.
Then I hear Ollie Wines, and this is their own players and coach admitting this, so this isn't me criticising them, saying that we were outworked, we didn't work hard enough. I go back to the middle of the season where there was a game against the West Coast Eagles where Port lost contested ball by minus 50.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, my question to you, Roo, is that have they actually got the right personnel? If it's happening week in, week out, and it happened again on the weekend to the point where Collingwood kicked seven goals in a row, that's totally unacceptable, really, isn't it? And Ken Hinckley commented on it after the game, so he's criticising them for it. Have they got the right personnel?
Well, I guess, you know, results dictate where you're at. They haven't won a final for several years now, Dits, have they? No. So, and
2014 was the great season.
Missing finals this year is, they're going to have to explain themselves for that, aren't they? Because they've had hardly any injuries at all.
Hmm.
They've had a good draw from where you finish. So they've had a good draw, no injuries. So there's actually no excuse at all, really, for anything.
So something's wrong then, real wrong, right? And when you talk about end-of-season reviews, it actually needs to be real brutal, because I've been saying right up until this week, and I still kind of believe, I think the squad is really talented, and when I look right through it, I think there are many, many good young players. The future kind of looks rosy for me, and it looks bright, but when you see the results, am I being misled? Is the squad perhaps not what I think it is?
Well, look, I think there was a lot of hype pre-season with the recruits, and, you know, I wasn't as excited as a lot of other people about the recruits they'd got. I'm happy to say that. Look, it's hard to be in the top bracket of the AFL. I can tell you that right now. It's hard to get there, and it's hard to stay there because everyone's trying and doing it right. But the thing with Port is they can play some really good footy, Dits, but you just don't see it often enough. And I think that's the frustration.
So that bit points to the personnel then. That means that there are people that can't concentrate that
can't
long.
Can't concentrate. I mean, are they fit enough? Have they got enough leadership out on the ground? Have they got the want? Are they coached probably? They're all the questions you ask. I'm not saying any of those are an issue or not, but in terms of that, if you can do it for patches, you should be able to do it for longer. They have got a good balanced side. They haven't got any glaring weaknesses in any part of the ground. I've got smart coaches in the box. It'll be interesting to see what they take out of the season. I mean, they might win this weekend and Geelong might get rolled against the Gold Coast, but there's every chance that they're going to miss the eight. I could just picture Koshy. He would have to be fuming at the moment. You know what he's like? I wonder if they've already had words or if he's just waiting for his time to say what his thoughts are. But I'd love to hear Ken Hinckley as well at the right time say why this has happened this year.
I would. So when they have a review.
And they will, and they'll be honest.
Yeah, but I'd like them. Yeah, but a lot of football clubs, it's not only Port, but a lot of footy clubs say things publicly that are just generalisations.
Well,
when you look at getting thrashed on the weekend and Ollie Wines and Ken Hinckley say we were outworked.
And they had nine of their best 22 out.
There you go. Nine out of their 22 out. Actually, I reckon members do need a bit of a public statement because, again, members get engaged in this and you want them to re-sign and you want to fill Adelaide Oval every week. I reckon they should come out and say, right, we've got to the bottom of this and this is what our reasoning is. This is why it happened.
Yep. I'd like to know. Hopefully they do, Dits, but there'll be a lot of frustrated footy followers, not just Port people too, Crows as well, obviously, because at the start of the year, just about everyone across the league probably thought Crows and Port were contenders for a flag in 2018, and they're not even going to be playing finals. So it's been a really, really disappointing year for South Australian football.
See, there's a big difference here too. I want to draw an analogy. If you barrack for Carlton right now, and you've just won the wooden spoon, but I think you expected it.
Well, they'd be disappointed
but
too.
But Port Adelaide, from where I sat, I thought we're going to be top four.
Well, everyone said they went finals. All in with the recruiting of Motlop, Watts, Rockcliffe, Lindsay Thomas, Jack Trengove, Trent McKenzie, and is it Aaron Davey? Not Aaron Davey, Davey that's from Melbourne anyway, that played at Geelong, played at Glenelg. He started the season okay. To bring those amount of players in was bold. Everyone was excited by it, but it hasn't worked.
Something's not right.
No, it's interesting. It's a tough comp.
Blam, on a Monday morning, Roo, we like to open up the phones and invite all sorts of people to ring in.
We sure do.
On 133353.
Hello, good morning.
Okay, boys, it's Murray on the Murray.
Hello, g'day, Murray.
Yeah, look, I've got an idea. All the boys up here on the Murray, we've got an idea for Gillian McDonald for the half-time time entertainment at the grand final.
Gil McLaughlin.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Boys, it came up with a discussion with Brackets.
Right.
He brought it up.
And who's Brackets? Is he one of your mates, is he?
Yeah.
Why do you call him Brackets?
Well, he was well overweight when he was playing footy and used to wear number 11.
Right. Right.
So Brackets had the question.
Yeah.
What club would Greg Norman use to hit a ball from one goal square of the MCG to the other?
How far would it be, Roo? How long's a footy ground?
It'd be
180
or 165. Probably punch a 7 iron.
Yeah, probably about
that. Detroit. Now, you get the players, most of them from 30 metres out with the size of the ball they've got. They've got a big foot, can't even get it through the sticks.
Mm-hmm.
He can get a ball not much bigger than a squash ball, Roo, and get him from one square to the other.
Right.
So I'm not ringing up for an argument, but then we had the idea. At half time, he gets lowered naked from a helicopter because he doesn't mind getting his kid
that's right.
Maybe just wearing a flesh-coloured G-banger.
Right.
And then he just walks up to the goal square just waving at the crowd, holding his club in one hand, a ball in the other, and just lets fly with his chip 7 iron from one goal square to the other.
Okay. So that's half-time entertainment.
Done.
That's done right there.
Yeah, and then If he's having a bad day, you give the crowd behind the goals just a pink hard hat for breastcase awareness.
Yeah, righto.
What if they gave him a 4 iron instead of a 7 iron and he punched it a bit too hard into the crowd and knocked someone out?
Well, Well, that's what he got the pink hard hats on.
Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah, good point.
So he's thought of everything.
You've got it covered.
He's thought of everything, Muzz. All right, Muzz, thanks. Muzz, give us something to think about.
No,
good suggestion. We like it when you call in. Good on you, Muzz. We might talk to you next week. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
Good day, boys.
Tex.
Is that you, Tex?
Yeah. Oh, well, it's all over.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. How hard was it watching on the weekend?
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it.
No?
I've got, well, Mad Monday next Monday.
Oh.
Where did you go, Roo, when you had Mad Monday?
Just out and about. Everywhere. Yeah,
that's what we'll probably do.
Yeah.
I remember last year's Mad Monday. I remember the end of the day. I got in the cab and the cabbie looked at me and said, NASDAQ Index. And I said, oh, mate, I don't know much about the money markets. And he said, no, that's my name.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, all right.
Did you hear about the bloke walking into a bar and he had a slab of Asphalt under his arm in the bar and says, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'll have a drink and I'll better have one for the road.
Thanks, Tex. Right on,
Tex.
See you tomorrow when you come in, Tex.
Yeah, hello, good morning.
Hello, Rob Boy. Hello, Ginger Nut.
Hello.
Tommy.
Hey, you know that? Have you been watching that show, The Bachelor?
The Bachelor,
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe you know. Maybe you have contact. You can get all the Bachelor down to have his date at my restaurant.
Right.
Oh, you'd like that, would you?
Well, he likes to go on romantic dates, doesn't he? So we could suggest
that's right,
that.
Right. You know, get a bit of mood lighting, and what I get my uncle to do, I can import some badger from the America.
Yeah.
Mm. And make a beautiful honey sauce. So they tried the badger at the table.
So. You can have honey badger.
With honey sauce.
What would you sell? How much would you get for a bit of honey badger?
Well, you know, we only charge on about $39 because we've got to import it, especially.
Yeah,
got
it, true.
But I make Tommy's good honey sauce.
Yeah.
And, you know, they look at honey badger, then they eat as well, you know?
Yeah.
You see that?
Sounds delicious.
I remember you came to a restaurant, Roo Boy, and you look and you say, I say, how you find your chili prawn? And you say, I just lift up bok choy, and there it was.
Well, anyway, can you do a special, can you do a special Roo dish for Roo as well?
That's a good idea. You know, like my great uncle say, you know, flying saucer will always appear when I notice spill his coffee.
Good on you, Tommy. Thanks for calling in. Go down to Tommy Tai Chi's for some honey badger.
Bit of honey badger.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
All right. That's all we've got time for this morning for our phone in. 4K TV is on the way, Roo. What does it all mean?
Yeah, I got no idea, but we'll get an expert on. Trev along. Trev, what is it going to do for our screens?
It's going to make them look a lot better. Most people who've bought a TV in the last, say, 3 to 4 years have probably bought a 4K capable TV. But do you remember when we went from standard definition to high definition?
Yeah.
Especially watching the footy. I mean, it just looked better. So now 4K is four times better than that. There's more pixels on the screen, which means there's more detail in the grass, in the ball, in the player, in everything. And the same with movies and rock concerts and whatever. So, yeah, it's all about making it better quality picture.
All right, so it's all to do with the picture. There are no other tricks to this. Like, I know when a couple of years ago, I think Foxtel IQ or whatever, you know, you could do instant replays and rewind things, and it did all of that. You can tape shows. But with this, it's purely about the picture, is it?
Yeah, so basically they've got a new box called the IQ4, which is almost identical to the IQ3 in everything it does, except it allows you to watch this channel 444, which launches in October, which is their 4K channel. So initially there's just one channel launching on Foxtel, which will be anything from docos to movies to music concerts and sports. So the cricket this summer will be in 4K on Foxtel, which is huge because we've never had live sport in 4K in Australia before. At the moment, the only way you can watch 4K if you've got a 4K TV, is to get a 4K Blu-ray player, which is not your standard Blu-ray player. You had to buy a new one.
Mm-hmm.
To get Netflix in 4K or Stan in 4K. That's the only way you would have seen anything in 4K up until now.
Trevor, I don't know if you're familiar with our AFL rules and some of the things that have happened in recent times, but basically in our game here in Melbourne and at the AFL, you go to a third umpire to get a ruling on a goal, on a decision, and we're complaining at the moment that it's a bit grainy, you know, like did that ball touch the post? You can't quite see it. We had a famous incident just a fortnight ago, a couple of weeks ago. Will it improve that type of thing? Will we be able to definitely see whether someone's touched the footy or done, you know, anything like that? Is it that good?
It's going to make it better. There's no doubt. I can't say for sure it's going to make it, you know, easy decision every single time. But you've got to remember, when a sporting event is broadcast in 4K, it means that every camera needs to be improved. So every camera that's being used in sports broadcasts today needs to be brand new ones. They're in 4K. And that means they'll be shooting in higher quality, which means the third referee, the video umpire, the whoever it is in whatever sport will have better quality. So theoretically, you know, that grain of grass, that ball to the post, it should all be a little bit better to see.
What about movies and things like that then? I presume that'll all be shot in...
Blow your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, these days, the great thing is movies are the easy thing because they've essentially been in high quality. We've just not been able to watch them in high quality. So I think you'll find movies will be the biggest amount of content that Foxtel will have first. But they're pushing hard on this, you know, cricket in 4K and the football next year too.
So just finally then, if you have to have those cameras dotted all around the ground, Foxtel must be investing a heck of a lot of money in this. They sound expensive.
Yeah, a lot of people bagging Foxtel for being, you know, late to the party because Netflix and Stan have got 4K. Nah, this is an expensive thing. Millions and millions of dollars. They can't just upgrade every camera in one day. They've got to buy new cameras. There can only be so many of them at the start. So it's a really complex process. So, look, it seems like they're a bit behind, but they're actually, you know, they're the first broadcaster in Australia to do 4K, so you've got to give them some credit.
Is it going to cost any more for people to watch?
Subscription, yeah.
Actually, no. It's if you've got the sport and the HD pack already, they're going to give you the 4K channel. And a quick tip for anyone that's been a Foxtel subscriber for a little while, they're basically rewarding loyalty. So pick up the phone or get on Twitter and say, I want the new box, and they'll give it to you for free.
Right.
Fantastic. All right, good on you, Trev. Thanks for that.
Pleasure.
Well done. Trevor Long is our technical expert, tech commentator.
It's always changing, isn't it, technology?
Hey, how have you pulled up? After Friday,
yep.
We had Miss Rocks in here touching up your tattoo, and it took a good hour to do it. It was what sort of – I've never had a tattoo, right?
Yeah.
And everyone talks about the pain. What, out of 10, what's the pain?
Look, it depends on where you get it, but at the ankle, it's sort of probably between a 5 and a 7.
Oh, so it's not that bad?
No. I mean, some people handle pain more than others, and depending on what bit you get it, definitely hurts more. But, yeah, it's more of an annoying pain than a, you know, like an unbearable one.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
So at no stage do you have to say, look, can you just stop and give me a rest for a minute?
No, you couldn't do that. That wouldn't be good for your reputation.
Well, she handed you a box of tissues. What was that for?
No, she was just taking the mickey. You know, she was acting. She did a good job for the radio. So,
okay.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a lot of pain or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not that I've ever admitted it, though, because you just sold your on.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
First of all, apart from your tattoo, I want to say in footy injuries, what's the most pain you've had? Can you remember anything? Any incident?
Oh, there's different types of pain, anything, isn't there? Like there's concussion where you just don't know what's going on. That's not really pain. Back pain can be really scary bad when you just if you think about moving and you've got nerve pain, that's really bad. But apart from that, I mean, osteitis pubis can be really painful. When I had that, that was in 97, you just couldn't move. Real super sharp pain.
Have you broken an arm or a leg?
No, I haven't either.
But I reckon that must be frightening. I did an ACL once, and that was fairly painful. I've got to say, that was bad. But believe it or not, the most pain by a mile, and I'm talking 20 out of 10, was sinus pain on a flight. It was the worst. It was to the point where I thought I was going to pass out. It was in my, right through my, you know, either side of my nose, but both sets of teeth, top and bottom, totally went numb and were just agonizing. I've never experienced.
What was the sinus issue?
Well, I had an infection, and the thing was, at ground level, I didn't know it. And as soon as the plane took off, and when you get high enough,
right,
like 30,000 feet above, things happen to your body, right, about pressurization. I was scratching the walls. Like, I was sitting by the window, I remember, and my wife sitting next to me. I was scratching the walls trying to get out of the plane. It was just incredible.
Really?
If anyone's had sinus pain like that, they'd know what I'm talking about. I wanted to go to the pilot and say, please land somewhere. That's how bad it got.
It was a long flight.
It was about a two-hour flight in Europe, and it was long enough because I thought, I'm up here for another 2 hours in this agony. It was, and then the ridiculous thing is, as soon as we came back down to sea level,
it's fine.
It went away again. So the pressure, had, you know. So that's the worst I can remember.
Yeah, shivers. Let's take some calls on worst pain you've ever been in. We've got a couple of good prizes to give away. We've got a family pass to go to the Royal Adelaide Show, which is not too far away now. The Royal Adelaide Show family pass. Also got a double to go to Super Jesus, who are celebrating their 20-year anniversary of their iconic album, Sumo, which is at September the 29th at the Gov. So a double to go to that.
I was in a fair bit of pain when the siren went Saturday.
Well, we'll all experience that, dude. Unfortunately.
Ruined It's on Triple M. Give us a ring. 133353.
Let's go to Para Hills. G'day, Daniel.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going?
Good, mate.
When I was 11, I was attacked by two dogs, and I ended up becoming an amputee, right-hand amputee, but that's got nothing like the pain of gout. I suffer from gout these days, and if you drink too much orange juice or tomato juice, the pain is excruciating.
Now, I've heard about this. Never had gout, but yeah, people that get it do say that, Daniel. So it's right up there, is it?
Yeah, I actually had to cut the heel out of my boot because I've got to wear a steel-toe boot, and I had it on the heel, and it just can't take any pressure, not even the weight of a blanket at night.
That's what I've heard. Now, tell me about losing your arm, though. Surely when you wake up from that sort of operation, that has to be a lot of pain.
Well, I was awake for the whole thing, mate, not for the operation, but for the attack. So I never passed out or anything. And so I never really went through any, traumatic, excruciating pain through that. I went into shock straight away.
So what did they do? The dog ripped your arm off?
No. Two great Danes attacked me. They'll bite me all over. But back in 1978, they didn't know about the hyperbaric chamber, and they would have put me in that to kill the infection because dog saliva is full of infection and... Or bacteria, I should say, and after 7 days of fighting off the infection, it just overtook it, and they ended up having to amputate.
Wow!
But there was lots of painful moments there, but none of them come close to the gout.
Have you got a pet?
It's amazing, isn't it?
This is a serious question. Have you got a pet dog these days?
Yeah, I got two chocolate Labradors. Wouldn't be without a dog.
So you're not scared of them?
No.
Okay.
Dogs
all
are right. Beautiful.
Interesting story, Daniel. Good on you.
Let's go to Albert and g'day, James. G'day, James.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Yeah, good, James.
Yeah, I know about what you're talking about with your pain and your tattoo, Roo.
Yeah.
I've got a heavily tattooed body, and the one on my kneecap would have to be the worst one.
Well, there's no flesh there, is there?
No, and it's like Roo would understand when the machine stops, the pain goes away, but on your knee... for the next week, it feels like someone hit you with a sledgehammer.
Really?
Yeah, mate. Yeah,
so did you go back to get the other kneecap done? Or did you learn your lesson?
Yeah. No, I've got the sides and the backs of both knees done.
All right.
You're a glutton for punishment.
Once bitten, twice shy, but apparently not. Righto, more calls in just a moment.
Yeah, let's go to Sturt. G'day, Nathan.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Yeah, very well. Have you had a lot of pain before?
Yeah, I've had a lot of pain, but I think the most painful thing I've had is a twisted testicle.
Twisted testy, yeah, there's nothing good about that. How did you get that?
Well, tell us about a twisted testicle.
I was just laying in bed at night, sleeping, had some loose boxer shorts on and stuff like that, and just rolled over and just sort of the boxer shorts caught it and twisted it around a bit and just caused a massive inflammatory sort of issue in the part that goes down to the testicle.
So it doesn't untwist then by itself?
Oh, it did, but the twisting actually did the inflammation and the swelling of the, I don't know what that tube thing's called, but yeah.
All right.
Most boys have done something along those lines.
I don't think I want one of those.
Yeah. No. Let's go to Charleston. G'day, Jason.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Good. What have you done?
Oh, I took my brothers down fishing down at the ledge at Coffin Bay, and I fell off the rocks. We got a run on the rod, and I went up to get it, slipped up, and fell off the rocks and cracked and broke my ribs and had to spend the night in the swag.
Ooh, in the swag.
Now, Roo, this is one with footy. I think you've mentioned this before. I've never had a cracked rib or a broken rib. Isn't that meant to be real painful?
Yeah, it is. Yep, absolutely it is. Very bad.
And even with the sort of the breathing in and out really affects it, doesn't it?
Yep, sure does. Can't laugh, can't sneeze, can't do anything like cough, anything like that. Let's go to Old Norlunga. G'day, Matt.
How are you, Roo? How are you, Dit?
What's your pain you've experienced?
I've had a few of them, but when I was a kid, I snapped my leg in half and broke both bones. The bones come out the skin. The only thing that held it in was the gumboots, but that wasn't the most pain I've ever had. I've actually had shingles on the left side of my face, and that was just agony for weeks and weeks.
Really? Shingles?
Yeah, it was terrible. I had pain through all my teeth, through the temple, through my eyes, through all the way down the side of my face. So every single nerve ending, that you got one that runs on the left and one on the right.
You're joking.
And it just had pain just going through it. And it was just like you'd have pulses of it. It would come and it would go. And when it did come, it just felt like someone was touching, like slicing the skin off your face.
Wow. How do you know when you've got shingles? Does a rash come out or anything like that?
I had a massive rash. I thought it was a reaction to antibiotics from the doctor because I went into the doctor for the flu.
Yeah.
And he gave me some antibiotics, and I went back the next day and I said, mate, I'm having a reaction. He goes, you're not having a reaction. You've got shingles. Mm. And I didn't realize at the time I had a staph infection appear at the same time on my face. And he said, you know, this is really dangerous stuff. You can go blind from staph infection in the face. It can go into your brain and kill you. And ooh, I was terrified. So
hell.
It was about 5 years ago. And it just took about 3 or 4 months for the pain to fully go away.
Wow. Terrible. All right, that's a long time. All right, Matt, thanks for that.
Yeah, let's go to Oakden. G'day, Mark.
G'day, gents.
What have you had?
A number of years ago, I walked down from my home to the Darwin Hospital to have a vasectomy. And the local didn't take. So it was like the doctor grabbed them, twisted around about half a dozen times and yanked.
Oh, no.
I could feel them up in my throat.
Oh, so, my God.
That's
but
no
I
good.
Was hanging on to the bed for dear life. Anyway, after the doctor had done the procedure, I said to the wife before I left, I'll just walk home. I rang her and said, you better come and pick me up and bring a bag of peas with you.
Bag of peas. So
It was excruciating.
Didn't you say early on that I don't think the locals worked?
Yeah,
it was too
the
local late.
Didn't work.
Mm.
Wow.
It was pretty painful.
Nah, great, Mark. You've pointed out something very important this morning. For the women listening, just what us blokes have to go through, seriously.
I've had a few testy stories here, haven't we?
Yeah.
And my heart goes out to you because it's a shocking thing. But
you'd have nightmares about that.
Yeah, you would.
Roo, you remember the cartoon The Jetsons going back to when we were kids
used
in the
70s? Used to love it. Yeah, exactly. Used to love it.
Well, big story in the Advertiser today. Big double page spread about Adelaide almost being a guinea pig city.
Well, Uber wants to trial a few things out. We're talking about driverless cars. We're talking about drones. We're talking about potential everything in the air in the future. I don't know enough about it, but one man who's very keen and to look at it is our Lord Mayor Martin Hazy, and he joins us now. Good morning, Martin.
Hi, Roo and Div. Thanks for having me on the program.
What's going to happen in the air over the Adelaide city into the future?
It's an interesting one, and I think it's not only just in the air. I think it's clearly also kind of on the land. It's maybe also on the sea. But the automation is a really almost exciting and somewhat scary proposition, but I think it's coming our way. So if we look at everything that's kind of happening out there in terms of automated transport, that can be automated public transport, that can be automated private transport like cars. If we look at drones and so forth in the air, drones that carry parcels and drones that carry people, it's already being trialled in various parts around the world. But it's a big challenge because my belief is that there needs to be a concerted kind of strategy amongst the federal government, the state government, and local governments. And I don't just mean Adelaide, I mean nationally.
My concern initially is, and we've mentioned this before actually, but air traffic control, and I mean this seriously, if there are drones flying around the city, well, not streets, but skyline, how do we control these sorts of things? Have you looked deeply enough into that part of it?
What I've done is I've called for a review of City Council's transport strategy. Now, we've got a strategy which we've been working through for the last 4 or 5 years called Smart Move. And the admin team are already working on really the next version of that. So much of this has got to do with technology. I think we are on the cusp of probably one of the biggest changes that we can all possibly imagine. It'll come in increments, but it will come. And we, from a policy, regulation, compliance, safety, all these things, we need to be completely reviewing how we plan our transport. We need to be doing it in conjunction with the state government. I will be chatting with Minister Stefan Knoll about this. This is really important. And although it might seem a bit daunting, it also could be a great opportunity for Adelaide, but we just need to be working together.
What do you, if you had to make a prediction, what would be the difference between now and, say, 5 years' time about with technology, with transport?
I would say we would see within 5 years a far greater uptake in the sale of, let's say, electric vehicles. Electric vehicles are a bit of a segue towards automated vehicles. I think we'll see more trials over the next few years in terms of automated vehicles. Interestingly, because Adelaide's laid out like a grid and it's flat, is that Colonel, in a more of a visionary than what we thought, is that Adelaide is actually nationally almost perfect in terms of being a city to test these new technologies. Now, that actually could be a bit of an advantage for Adelaide.
Any chance that we could make these things here as well?
That, again, I think probably more the domain of the state. But possibly, yes. I mean, there are a whole pile of new industries around this too. I mean, it's not just being an early adopter of new technology. It actually could help us kind of redefine our manufacturing base.
Fantastic. All right, Lord Mayor Martin Hazy, thanks for joining us. Rue, I'm all for trying things and, you know, let's be positive. One thing I read this morning is the Lefevre Peninsula alone could have 8,000 new residents within that five-year period with everything that's happening at Techport and all down that way. So they're talking about the need for a better transport system. So
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's, as we said with Trevor Long earlier, technology is just changing rapidly. So let's have a look at it and embrace it.
Righto.
There's been a bit of talk over the weekend about gender selection in babies.
Gender selection.
And whether people are having, well, there's a couple of different reasons it's come out. People are having less kids, so when they want to have a kid, they want to get the sex they can have, and or people who have had four boys or four girls or three girls or three girls and then want to have the opposite sex, they want to, you know, make sure they can have it. And there's been some talk about IVF more so, because I don't think, I think it's actually legal to be able to select your IVF embryo, but it's sort of against the ethical guidelines, if that makes sense. So there's been a lot of talk about it. Where do you sit in it?
Well, where this is controversial is that you and I heard an interview this morning driving into work where they're saying that people are getting a month or two into the pregnancy and going, oh, it's a girl, I wanted a boy, and they're aborting. Terminating.
That's
so when you talk about gender selection, this is how serious it gets. They're actually aborting and saying, well, we'll go again because I'm not getting the sex that I wanted.
Yep.
Should you have the right to do that? Is where the question gets very, very, very tricky, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because it just, it doesn't seem right or feel right, and lots of people are saying it isn't right.
I tell you, there's a model called Danielle Lloyd who I'm not familiar with, but she's received a hell of a lot of backlash over this, saying, well, I've paid for it. I should be able to get what I want. If I've had to pay all this money for IVF, then I should be able to choose. That's where the controversy comes in. There are people listening this morning that have, as you know, Rue, would have been trying for years and years and years to have babies and just desperate. And you've got a very, very good friend in this category.
Yep.
And they deserve to be parents. And,
yep.
And there are many, many wonderful people out there that don't get the opportunity to be a parent. And I feel for them in this case. And then we've got people like this model saying, well, I didn't get what I wanted. I'm aborting. And I'll go again, and I'll keep going until I get what I want.
1-333-53. Give us a buzz. What do you think about selection of the sex of your baby? Should you be able to do it?
Talking gender selection here, Rue, and just repeating, a model, Danielle Lloyd, who's an actor as well. She's got four boys. She's 34 years of age, and she says here, her quote, "I want a girl, and if I can pay for it, then that's okay. I can get one." Suggesting that she should be able to choose what she wants, and if she doesn't get what she wants, she'll just abort and go again. It's costing her $30,000, and I wonder, the money here is irrelevant. I mean, clearly she can afford it. She's flying to Cyprus where it's legal to do this, so flights, accommodation, plus the treatment, $30,000. She just says, there's an urge inside me to have a girl that I just can't let go, and if I can pay for it, I'll do it.
I just read about it, actually. It said more of it's with mums wanting to have a daughter. I would have thought it would have been the other way around with people wanting a boy, you know, to carry on the name or whatever, because that's what happened in China a lot, didn't it?
Yeah.
With the one-child policy, they ended up going down that track. Let's go to Payne, and what do you think, Thomas?
G'day, gents. I call bollocks on the whole situation. I think if you're not prepared to have one or the other,
then you shouldn't be having kids. I mean, why can't everybody just take a leaf out of your book, Roo, and just have six or seven?
Yeah, well, but people are different, aren't they? And they get real pointy about what they want. And
The thing that bugs me the most is that the world is so hell bent on changing the natural way of things.
Yeah,
I mean, we've just got to take what we get when it comes to kids. We can change our sex. We can be homosexual and do all of these different things that we wouldn't have even thought of 100 years ago. Let's just leave the sex of our kids alone and let them make that choice as they get older.
Great call, Thomas. Roo, you've got four boys, two girls. At any stage, did you wish for one or the other?
I think most people who have kids would like to experience one of each.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we tried different things to get a boy the second time round, but, yeah, nothing serious. You know, because there's talk of different parts of the cycle that give you more chance of getting a boy or a girl, but, you know, we were lucky enough to have a girl and then a boy, so it didn't matter after that. So. Yeah. You just do what you need to do, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I do. I'm with you. Don't have to get graphic.
No.
Gender selection, very, very controversial topic.
Let's go to Paraka. G'day, Chris.
Hello, Roo. How you going?
What do you think?
I think it's terrible because people should be satisfied for what they get. My girlfriend's had five miscarriages and she still can't have no children. So people should just leave things alone and let nature take its course.
Yeah, yep. Good on you, Chris. Yeah, you hear sad stories like that, people that really, really deserve to have children.
Let's go to Ridgehaven. What do you think, Scott?
I think it's a bad idea. I think you should just let nature do what it's meant to do. And then if people are going to go kill the baby just because it's not what they wanted, I don't think that's pretty right.
Yep, there's a lot of people in your boat. Let's go to Aldinga Beach. G'day, Terry.
I'm the same. I think it's pretty disgusting what gives people a right to take to a child because of their sex. I'm same. I know people who've got friends go through IVF or haven't been able to have children and, they do anything, just regardless. I'm one of the lucky ones. I do have one of each, but it would never have mattered what sex and baby was. You love them unconditionally, so don't you?
Yeah, good on you, Terry. Most definitely.
Let's go to Hackham. Darren.
There you go, fellas, all right?
Yeah, good, thanks, Darren.
Yeah, never worried me because I could have saved her a trip. She could have come over to my place and had a daughter because I had seven in a row.
What?
Yeah, I had to trade a few models in there on the way, but, still had seven daughters in a row. Finally got a son, but I wasn't trying. I just haven't enjoyed myself, that was all.
When did you get your son on your eighth?
Yeah, number eight.
How far would have you kept going before you got to get a boy?
Well, the thing is, everybody said, why didn't you have a vasectomy and stuff like that? I said, well, I never planned a family. I just enjoyed myself. That was it.
So what, you just really wanted a boy or you just would have had that many kids anyway?
No, it didn't really worry me. I looked after the girls and stuff like that. That's the way it was. Never bothered me at all.
And how's it all going now with that many kids?
Oh, no, well, I brought up five of the girls by myself and then that was a bit of fun. But then you went through different wives and that. Just got in there and I stopped because they had to build another house every time I had a divorce. So
came
up. Righto. All right. Good. That's having a real crack, isn't it?
100% of callers disagree with this concept, which I think is a good thing. The Roo and Dits catch up for the Hospital Research Home Lottery. $2.9 million grand prize. Visit homelottery.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.